WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We branded these intelligent conversations. We're now calling them Wise Conversations, thanks to our partnership with our friends at Wise Markets. Coming in, Rob Santoni's going to be on next week. We're getting ready for opening day at this place here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And in anticipation of all things Palmer, hon, Don Mohler has invited one of our defending champions, one of my favorite people in Baltimore, but she already knows that. I mean, she knew that before I even invited her on, because she was over at the flagship at WBAL and couldn't come on my show. All my Uncle Allie and all that stuff back in the day. But
the late great.
She's here and now and almost award-winning, right? Right on the cusp of award-winning. She is Max the Girl, Max the Great. We welcome Max Weiss back on from Baltimore Magazine, and we're about to pin you down on crab cakes. You're going to regret visiting us this time. I'm going to tell you.
I have no fear.
And look at this. I have two, not one. I have two editions. I've got the famous dining edition, and now I've got this real estate edition. We're going to have your senior editor on, Ron Cassie, talk about some of his good stuff.
Eat your words.
In that one. Listen, before we even get in, because I don't want to forget it, we're going to pin you down on the crab cake. But before we do, talk about this amazing award that Baltimore Magazine is now up for.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Throw our listeners in.
So Baltimore Magazine is a member of the City Regional Magazine Association. And it's kind of a cool thing because almost every major city has at least one magazine like Baltimore Magazine.
Washingtonian.
Exactly.
New Yorker.
Cleveland Magazine, LA Magazine, Texas Monthly is possibly the most famous and most
successful. South Beach, Ocean Drive.
You'd be amazed how many of these magazines there are. So we're all part of this association, and it's kind of a good thing because it's great when you're in the same business as other people, but you're not competing with them, because there can be this truly open exchange of ideas and it's not going to affect your bottom line. So, you know, we can say, hey, this works for us. We tried this and you know, so we love being part of this association. So
well,
once
that's
a year,
best crab cakes in Cleveland. I assure you.
Well, that's funny you say that, because that is the one thing. Not everything works in every region, and you have to know, right, we're not going to do best barbecue. That's going to be something they do in Texas, you know.
We have good barbecue here. You haven't been to Woodrow's.
No, I have. It's delicious. It's delicious. But you know what I mean. Maybe barbecue was a better, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So obviously you customize it to your region, but we're exchanging ideas. But then once a year they have an award show, and man, for years, Baltimore Magazine got shut out, and it was so frustrating. I mean, we would send in our submissions and work hard on them, and then we would come back and we would get like one or two nominations. So this year we got 9 nominations. We're thrilled. And
is this your Sally Field moment? They like us. They really like us.
Yeah. You know, man, there are some great magazines out there, you know, like, so you go to the award ceremony and usually there's a conference, but this is going to be a virtual conference.
Oh, you're getting screwed the one year you get nominated?
No, we've got nominated.
Man. That's terrible.
No,
tell me the awards were going to be somewhere really good, not like in Dallas or something.
It's in a different, the last one that I went to was in Minneapolis, of all places.
That's a good place. That's a good
place. You know what's funny? Last year's supposed to be in Baltimore.
Oh, wow.
And that one got canceled.
And you got to cheat. You would have been a peacock out and show off, right?
That's
local?
Exactly right. I mean, we had it all planned. We were going to take them to, you know, all these cool places in Baltimore and show off the city. And right, I was
going to. Were you going to play the cello at the jazz opening or no?
Absolutely. I was going to be the queen of the Sierra Mace. So that fell through. So
Queen Max. That's a nice women. That's a nice ring to it, you know.
But we're doing it virtually, and the one that I'm most excited about is general excellence, because that's just basically like the whole thing, baby. You're doing it right.
Well, Max, you say that, and I say this whenever we have you. And again, we're with Max Weiss, editor-in-chief. We said queen, but really the editor-in-chief.
There are a lot of Baltimore chiefs. I went through
queen,
this, right? There's a fire
editor.
Chief. There's a police chief, and they both happen to be female in Baltimore County, right?
I love that.
But to be a chief, I don't know where else you can be a chief other than in publishing, right?
Editor-in-chief.
I do answer the chief, yes.
I say this all of the time. I remind folks, you know, I love the magazine, And I say to folks, yeah, I know when you're in the grocery store or you're in your local pharmacy, it's sitting there. You say, I'll pick it up. Folks, it's cheaper to buy the subscription. Just go on. What is it? Baltimore Magazine,
BaltimoreMagazine.com. Click on the link. There's a subscription link.
Yeah. Folks, just go.
So right. We have deals where you can get 12 issues for $12. I mean, are you kidding me? How much does this thing cost? It's like $4.99 or $5.99 an issue. You would think I would know, but it's covered up by my label.
Well, it's going to take me now. It always takes me a year to try to make sense of the dining issue. We're going to have you talk about that.
Sure.
But before we do, the 9 awards, outstanding. Nestor is about, Max, you guys should actually chronicle it, you know, like put an embedded reporter on him because he's going to go for the next 18 months all over the state.
Well, what happened?
Having people defend their crab cakes.
My cousin came to town. I mean, I haven't told this story because it really pissed me off, all right? And I'm going to be like, really, this isn't so Baltimore positive, but it's very Baltimore positive in the end. My cousin came to town and was going to get a crab cake. And I told him where not to go because I had a business relationship. You know, and I said, whatever you do, just don't go to that guy.
Okay.
And he came to town. He took 6 business people to that guy. And I'm like, first off, the meat's Asian. But secondly, I said, don't go there. I said, there's 1,000 places with crab. So I sent him because it was a Saturday night. It was the night it was raining and icy and awful. And he insisted on being here, you know, North Carolina. You figure it out, right? Other side of the aisle. So they wind up getting 3 dozen from Costas. And bringing back crabs and cracking them and having a great time. And then I thought in the aftermath, I was like, you know what? Fadley's wasn't open on a Saturday night. I would tell him to ship. Brian Billig has shipped those. Fadley's and Costas have been my partners for 20 years, right? And I could tell anybody to go there. And they'll have a great experience. But I want to experience crab cakes outside because I'm thinking everyone has a crab cake. Everyone is related to someone with the best crab cake recipe. And everyone I've ever known will tell me theirs is the best. And the first thing I say is broiled or fried, right? So I have gone on a quest. I took a negative, turned it into a positive. Jackie McCusker, I wrote this down. What was it? Finding the beauty in COVID. I wrote that down the other day. We're looking for the beauty in COVID. So the beauty in COVID for me is when this is over, it's not Republican or Democrat, right or left, black or white, Eastern Shore, Western Shore. It's not even Baltimore and Washington, right? It's crab cakes and beer and maybe some oysters and some sides will probably bring people together. So what I'm going to do every Friday for the rest of my life is go somewhere new that I've never had a crab cake after I have Coco's and G&M and, you know, the obvious Pappas. And then I'm going to find crab cakes at places that I've never heard of. And I feel like this is going to be a way to spread a little Baltimore positive, but more than that, to eat some really good crab cakes. So that's the whole story, even though Don probably didn't know all that whole story.
I want to clarify your bias against the Asian crab meat is we want to support the Maryland crab industry.
I want to support the United States crab industry because I learned a lot about Maryland crab picking last year and female crabs and male crabs and what, and I'm here to educate. This is social studies experiment, Don,
there
right? The
go.
Whole thing. So
all right,
Max, crab cake, go for it. I know you're 25 of them last
year.
I know
you do. I want to tell you a few things. One, the July issue of Baltimore Magazine is all about the crab industry in Maryland. So look for that in July. We're going to go behind the whole industry. Number two,
that's a great plug. That's awesome.
We'll have you back on to talk about that. Keep going.
I have a motto, which is it's impossible to get a good crab cake out of Maryland and almost impossible to get a bad crab cake in Maryland.
Correct.
You know, I mean, most crab cakes in Maryland are delicious. You can get it from just any random restaurant because if it's not good, the customers are going to tell them. They're going to have to tweak the recipe and change it until it is good because people in Baltimore, they know what a good crab cake is and they're not going to tolerate anything less than a good crab cake. So most crab cakes are really good.
You would agree they're all different.
They're all different. And also, by the way, it's personal taste, right? Like you say, oh, broiled or fried. Okay, so like I happen to prefer broiled, but if you prefer fried, that's legit. That's completely, and some people like more sort of filler. Some people like less. Some people like it so that it almost kind of falls apart because there's so little filler. Some people want a little mustard in there. Some people don't.
Celery seed, don't leave the celery seed out.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it is a personal preference kind of thing, but again, they're all good. So
where do you take somebody right now? Someone really, Oprah's coming to town and you're like, you're taking her out. Where are you? This isn't Baltimore Magazine. This isn't Ron. This isn't Steve. I'm going to ask everybody, where would you take them? Because that's going to be the question I'm asking everyone, because I'm going to go to all of these places over the next 2 years. Literally.
My favorite is Coco's.
Well, Brandon Scott has a standing date with me at Coco's. Last time we were together, he said he ate there before he was mayor. So I am planning to eat the Coco's crab cake, of course, with his partnership, because that's his place. I've eaten two Coco's crab cakes, none this century, like back in the 90s. You know what I mean? So it's been a long, long time. And I'm looking forward to getting back over there and doing that. So that's
Before COVID, I love the Coco story. Just before COVID, our good buddy Rob Roblin calls me. He says, "Hey Don, let's go get a crab cake and a beer. I want to take you to this place, Coco's. You probably not." I said, "No, I've never been there." "Sounds good. I'm West Baltimore boy. Let's go. I'll meet you there." And I kidded Rob. You got to say, Max, right? When you drive up, if you told people, you got to go to this place, Coco's, got the greatest crab cake on, one of the greatest crab. You look at the place, you're going, did Robin say Coco's? Was it spelled? Is this the place?
Yeah.
And then you go in, and you're right. It is this little culinary piece of heaven.
Well, that whole area is great. And Max, I mean, from an eating standpoint, I know somebody, it was an award last week about Baltimore being a great dining place. Being stuck here the last year, I thought it was going to be awful, not because of Baltimore, just being caged up and stuck here, you know? Man, I want you to go on about Ekeben, because I went the other night, John Allen, my lifer buddy, rock and roll, Charm City Devils and Stone Horses. We walked the city together. My wife and I walked the city last week. We went to La Burrita. We have walked up and down Eastern Avenue. My dude at Chaucer. I've been to Verde. All these places that I am in love with Baltimore, and I'm glad I am, because I started Baltimore Positive, but I've been using it on every 50-degree night beginning February 1st. We've been going out in the city. I think the city's getting better and brighter, and you know, I'm real pleased with how many options I would have if somebody got off an airplane, to places I could take them to go and eat and walk and talk that are nice places in our city.
Yeah, well, Ekeben is an amazing story. And the funny thing is, we actually have a story about them.
It was an unbelievable story.
Right. So maybe you're talking about the fact that they drove to Vermont.
No, your story in BMag, I read it. It took me a long time because it was great about the kid from UMBC. He friended me on LinkedIn. I got to get him on the show. Oh, I mean, everybody needs to read that story. It's American Dream.
Dave Marion, well, our food and dining editor, wrote the story. Buns out. I wrote the title.
Okay, now we're talking among ourselves. So since we have folks listening, Max, tell them the Ekeben story.
No, Don, have you been to Ekeben?
I have not. You told me I got to get the bird. I got to get the broccoli. But I want Max to tell people who are listening about Ekeben.
So the thing about Ekeben is what they do so incredibly well that people tend to get addicted to their food. So one of the things that they do is this tempura broccoli with all these different seasonings and stuff. I mean, it's delicious. And so
I would call that the best meal in the city, by the way. And I would have said that before this amazing story you're going to tell.
I mean, they have a lot of great stuff. I love their like catfish over rice with pickled vegetables. I forget what it's called, but that is delicious. Anyway, so there was a woman who was a regular. I guess she moved out of Baltimore for whatever reason. Now she is very, very ill, terminally ill. And so she's been craving the tempura broccoli. So her son called up Ekeben and said, "Can you do me a favor? Can you give me the recipe? I want to recreate the tempura broccoli for my mom because she's dying, and I just want to give her this last flavor." And the guy, Steve, the owner, he said, "I'll do you one better. We'll drive out and we will make the tempura broccoli for her." And the son's like, "Wait a second. I'm in Vermont. I'm six hours away.
It's not Towson.
Right. And they said, no, you know what? For a loyal customer, this is something that we will do. And they got in their car and they brought whatever equipment they needed to make it. And they made her, they surprised her with this tempura broccoli, and they made her a whole feast. She had enough food for 2 days, apparently. And I mean, talk about mentions, talk about good guys, huh? I mean, that brings a tear to my eye. That is such a beautiful story.
Well, it's about it. It's as good as it gets. And again, that's why I say to folks, every month in Baltimore Magazine, every single month, there are great, it's no wonder they won 9 awards. There's great stuff. There's hard-hitting reporting. There's clever reporting. There's just all kinds of stuff. Max, talk a little bit, because you did something that I wasn't sure was doable this year. Is you had a dining issue, because I kept thinking, I think I said to my wife, you know what, they're not going to have the dining issue this year. They'll say it's COVID, we're doing something else. Son of a gun, you came up with a concept. I can see your handiwork upon it. Talk about how you guys ended up, what you did, and tell folks what you did.
Thank you. Okay, I just wanted to quickly mention that the names of the Ecubon co-owners are Ephraim Abibi and Steve Chu. And yeah, if you check out the April issue of the magazine, we have a great story about them.
Well, yeah, I wanted to point that out as well, because that was one of the best written stories. And not all of you, Ron's great, you got all the great writers, but I had not really discovered. I have been eating there for a couple of years and not knowing the story.
Yeah.
And within the same week, I mean, I get the broccoli tempura once a week, right? So literally, I walk over there and get it. That's what I do. Because you can't make it at home. As they found out, the woman in Vermont knew that, right? You just can't make it. So I've been doing this forever, and now I feel like I know this person, right? So, like, to me, that's where your magazine and this show and getting to know these amazing people doing amazing things in Baltimore, that there's a lot of good stories going on here.
Before you tell the story of the particular edition, the dining 2021. I can't wait. I'm going to jump in the car and head over to Ecubon. Is it all carry out or can you eat
curbside
in as well?
You got to carry out.
It's all carry out.
Are they not? I mean,
I was there last night. Trust me. They you know.
Yeah.
Curbside ahead. Now, here's the thing about the broccoli tempura, because I'm going to tell everybody this. They're going to serve it to you with the box open and you need to eat it. You're not going to take the broccoli tempura back to Catonsville, Don. All right. Like, don't do it. All right. Eat it in the car. Get your chopsticks out. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's a couple of seats, certainly in the one in the Fells Point area, but I'm not sure if they're allowing people to eat inside right now because of COVID. So, but you know, during normal times, I'm not sure about the one in Hamden, but the one in Fells Point, you can sit down.
There were 40 people on the street at 8:15 last Saturday night when I walked back past there waiting to get in. It's that good, and the people are that good, and you telling the story of the people is what behind every great bowl or plate of anything, there are people here. Like Jackie McCusker, who we had on last week from Nacho Mamas. Your dining edition is the result of all of these people making it through this stupid time, right?
So how did you settle? How did you settle on this issue? Because you came up with all these themes and all these sort of areas without saying, you know, here's the best prime rib and walk us through how you settled on what you were going to do, because I thought that was pretty neat.
Thank you. Okay, so yes. So March is generally our best restaurants issue. And we just felt like we couldn't do a normal best restaurants issue because very few new restaurants opened, a bunch closed, a bunch, you know, were currently closed, were planning on reopening, or they were, you know, just, or maybe they had just reopened. We just didn't feel like the timing was right to do a proper best restaurant. So we thought, and yet the food industry in some ways sustained us throughout this entire, pandemic, that they fed us, they found creative ways to get food to us. They reinvented themselves.
They employed people.
There was so much ingenuity and so much that we were inspired by in the dining world. So we came up with this concept of the dining awards. And that way we were able to sort of write about a whole bunch of different great things that were happening in the dining scene, because the best restaurants issue, it tends to be more places where it's like a sit down. Usually there's a tablecloth. It's a place that serves dinner. It can't be like, for example, Miss Shirley's has never won a best restaurant because they don't serve dinner, even though they're a great restaurant.
Well, date place, right? That's a great restaurant, right?
Exactly. They tend to be date places. So this was, we were allowed to sort of expand it, and we thought it was a great reflection of what was going on this year. You know, one of the cool things about the magazine, and you know, we have like the archives back at the office, is you can sort of flip through them and they're a snapshot of any given year in Maryland and Baltimore. So, you know, we just felt like the Dining Awards was the perfect snapshot of what's happening in the food scene right now. And, you know, it was fun. You know, we do Best of Baltimore Awards, obviously, so it's not the first time we've done this sort of thing, but this was a little spin on it. And it was fun to come up with the categories and the winners.
Did Gampy's ever win back in the day or no?
Did who win?
Gampy's ever win 30 years ago when you went back? I hope they did. They had good food, man.
You know, I used to live around the corner from Gampy.
I know you did. That's why I brought it up. I figured I'd make you laugh, you know? Try to get some street cred here, Max.
Talk about the best chef.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, talk about the best chef, because you normally, you know, we're thinking the Cindy Wolfs and the Pedro Sanchez's at Tio Pepe. And you picked a young lady by the name, I think it was Katina Smith. Is that how I say it?
Yes,
Katina Smith. Talk about her business and how she got selected as the best chef, because I'm reading that and I'm going, man, this is an interesting story.
Right. I mean, she was doing virtual cooking classes, which again is exactly another way that people were being, you know, ingenious and bringing food to our homes. And, you know, she's a rising star. In fact, this is a small little write-up about what she's all about under Best Chef. We're actually planning on doing a larger story on her as well, because she's a personality that we definitely want to.
And that's what I'm looking forward to reading in BMAG right there.
Yeah, exactly.
The next Steve Chu.
Yeah, exactly. And Steve Chu, by the way, that's the Ecubon guy, he's hilarious. Like, when you read Jane Marion's story in the April issue, you will laugh out loud.
I can't wait to get him on the show. Like, I feel I just can't wait to get him on the show. I mean, I love you, NBC.
That thing is remote, so he won't be bringing you any food.
No. It's cool. I'll pay for the food. I don't need problem. Max Weiss is here from BMAG, doing BMAG things, and we're talking about how great Baltimore is, because it's what we do, and we believe it, and we sort of live it and eat it. Obviously, you know, the COVID thing for a movie buff like yourself, for both of you, for TV show people and Netflix and all these things that I do not subscribe to at all. I always think it's funny when they say, and the award winner is Schitt's Creek. I love that. I mean, I love that on the awards. Yeah, I love when proper people have to say that. I'm sure they love to say that on 98 Rock and other places. But you, the idea of pandemic life, being locked in a house, getting curbside somewhere, hanging out with your animal, playing the cello, writing stories and watching movies and not having to go to a theater and deal with theater stuff, I'm guessing the plague wasn't all that awful for you. You probably caught up on some cinema, right? I mean, literally.
Well, yes and no. I miss going to the movies. You know, I mean, you're a film critic. You love to sit in a theater, sit in the dark, have that giant screen in front of you. You just take it in a way that is different from when you're upstairs on your couch. And especially now with, like, you know, we all have our phones and we're distracted. And I love the fact that you're almost forced to pay attention when you're in the movie theater. And there's that kind of attention that you just, like, for example, a couple of years ago, one of my favorite films was a film called Roma. And I saw it on the big screen. Absolutely gorgeous film. And I've had people say to me, I tried to watch it, I couldn't get into it. And I thought, you know what? I could almost see myself not loving that film if I had to watch it on my little TV or even a big TV at home, because it's the kind of film you have to completely immerse yourselves in. You have to get lost in it.
Well, airplane movies are like that, right? When you watch a movie on an airplane, not that it's on the big screen, but it really is. There's nothing else going on when you watch it, right? I mean, literally.
Yeah, I mean, obviously an airplane is not the ideal way to watch a film either, but right. Yes, you're right in that when you're on the airplane, you can really focus. And so, but it's all these things. The focus is one thing. The big screen, the darkness, the lights going down, all of that stuff, the movie theater popcorn, which I'm completely addicted to. The only thing wrong with going to, movies is that sometimes you have really annoying people in the theater with you who are talking.
Sometimes? The last 50 movies I went to, 49 of them, that was my experience.
Nah, and I'm like, yeah, you don't.
And then I'm like, give me the DVD, and that was 20 years ago. And now, like, I've been to a movie theater four times this century, literally.
Well,
and didn't like it, any of them.
Max and I have decided you need therapy about that. But, it's funny you mentioned the people talk, and I think it has gotten much better. I don't know if it's just awareness, but my kids to this day will tell you that in the past life when their dad was a principal, and unfortunately their mom was a teacher, principal and teacher mode would kick in, and we'd be in the movies with the kids, and somebody up five or six rows to the right would be talking, and I think, well, they're going to stop. It's just the credits, it's just the coming attraction, just the trailer. So I'll give them a break here for a minute, even though I wish they'd shut up now. And the movie would start, and I'd give them about another 30 seconds. And then the principal mode would kick in, and I'd get up, and I could see my kids just pulling their hoods up over their heads. I would go and say, do me a favor. You're more than welcome to talk. But if you do, would you take it out in the lobby? Everybody else here would really – and they would sort of look at you, but typically they would get quiet and you get back to the movie. So –
need that after Aurora to be real. I mean, not to be, I just don't need to do that,
Well, I said that was a while back. I think it's gotten better, Max. What do you, it's been a while.
And I think it depends on the theater you go to. So if you go to the Parkway, if you go to the Senator, if you go to the Charles Theater, not that I have anything against the multiplexes or whatever, but if you go to these theaters that are sort of like film temples almost, do tend to respect the film more. And they tend to respect the people who are sitting in the theater with them more.
The problem with that, Max, is that my wife and I are still at the younger end of the demographic at the Charles. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I like to go there. I'm still a kid at the Charles. I look around and who all's there and go, okay, all right, we're still kicking. So here's the segment before we get into some of the Max White. If you're not following Max the Girl on Twitter, you are missing out because she is a lively Twitter follower. But before we go to some of your Twitter outrage this week, we're going to start a segment called I Bet You Haven't Seen This One. Now, I'm not going to allow you to use Roma because you've already used it. What's a cinematic, even if it's not a gem, I always say, is it worth a couple of popcorns? Is it worth 2 hours? Okay. What's a movie that you say, hey, if you haven't seen this one, find it. You'll enjoy it.
Okay. So I'm going to try to go for some that I think most people would like. Have you ever seen a movie called Sing Street?
Sing Street. I'm writing these down. I always do that.
Yeah, you should. Okay. So Sing
Street. I never watch them, but I write them down.
Is about a boy in Ireland. I might have gotten that wrong. It might be England, but
Europe.
I think it's Ireland.
Europe.
Isn't it? Who
across the pond
he forms, it's in the 80s, and he forms a kind of new wave band with his friends, and they start making videos. It's all to sort of get the girl, and it's a movie all about the power of music, and the way they recreate what videos in the 80s looked like is so spot on. And it's about this boy and his relationship with his brother and his relationship with this one girl he has a crush on and his kind of ragtag group of friends that he brings together. The music is amazing in this movie. It's called Sing Street, and that's one, if you haven't seen it, it's like, I can guarantee you'll like it. Taste is idiosyncratic. Not everybody likes everything. That's one that I feel pretty confident almost everybody is going to like.
2016 musical romance, a boy growing up in Dublin during the 80s escapes his strained family life by starting a band to impress the girl he likes. That sounds like a wonderful story, Max.
So
that sounds like something I would watch and enjoy, yes.
Yes, for sure. That's a really – another one that I loved, but maybe not for everybody, but certainly for some. So this film Nomadland, as you know, is getting all this awards buzz with Frances McDormand. And I think it might actually win Best Picture, which would be amazing because I absolutely love this film. If you haven't seen it, it's about people living off the grid, sometimes by choice, sometimes by necessity, and this community that they find with each other. Amazing film. Anyway, the director of that film is Chloe Zhao. She is amazing. She is a rock star. So the film, she's made three films. The film she made before Nomadland is called The Rider. And it's about a rodeo horse rider who falls off the horse and cracks open his head. And he's not allowed to ride anymore. And it's about how he tries to adjust to his life. Horses is his entire life. And what she does in this film, and she does this in Nomadland too, is she incorporates the actual people. So it's not documentary, but it's almost a merge of fiction and documentary. And if you liked Nomadland, I would really encourage you to seek out The Rider. It's so, so good. And, you know, an unforgettable movie. But that one's a little more slow paced, right? So, you know, like whereas at Sing Street, it's like everybody's going to like it. The Rider, I'm not saying it's boring at all, but it is a little more slow paced. So if you like art films at all, you will love it.
Well, Max, can I make one quick observation here on this? Because yes. I've known you a long time. Yes. I remember back in the day, like in a city paper, they put albums in that you couldn't find and like weird French movie subtitled that you could only see at an art cinema at the 10 p.m. showing. It is fascinating that no matter what song, music, movie, show, whatever, it's all a click away now, right? Like anything you tell me to go watch, I tell my son he should go watch Warren Beatty and Goldie Hawn and Shampoo. He's like, oh, that's $2 on the cable. Boom, I get that. You know what I mean? So it really was like you had to even go to weird places to rent tapes or even get DVDs or even mail order stuff. It everything is so like if I want to watch that, I can watch that right here, right now, anytime I want. That's weird for an old movie buff, isn't it?
Well, let me tell you, Nestor. It's interesting, Max. You may have seen this. If you haven't, you guys got to dial it up there right now on Netflix. It goes to your experience.
I don't have Netflix.
There is there's a little documentary called The Last Blockbuster, and there is one Blockbuster store left in the United States.
I still got my card
in Oregon. It is, and this lady has kept this Blockbuster running. It has a loyal clientele. But Max, you know, the other thing is you mentioned, and you and I love films. I'm always nervous. And you said, Sing Street, I'm pretty sure everybody's going to like.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example, one real quick, and then I want you to talk about one more. I think you had one more you wanted to share.
Yes.
Roma is one that I feel bad about. You and almost all of my friends love that film.
Right.
I love films.
Right.
I didn't get it. And I always say, it has to be me. It's the way I felt. Nestor knows when I told Ron Legler that Wicked. You know, I love musical theater. Just addicted to musical theater.
Yeah.
All my friends love Wicked. I can't.
It's the last thing I did before the plague. And, you know, I should have gotten
a DVD. I said to Ron
Legler,
sorry, Ron, I think I broke his heart. I said, I've never... And I love musical theater. The one I had a recent experience with a film that you mentioned. I loved, my wife and I loved Nomadland. I was engulfed in that film from the moment it began, even with the concept that there are only two actors and actresses in it, right? You know, David Strathairn and
Frances McDormand,
right. The Jensen Muse, another Peter Jensen Muse. A shout out to Peter Jensen, to his college buddy. But so I recommended it quickly to my kids.
Yeah.
And my daughter and son-in-law broke my heart a few days later and they went, we didn't make it through. And I'm going, what do you mean you didn't? Yeah. And you know, don't you feel so deflated when you love a film and someone says, it didn't work? And it's so personal.
That's part and parcel of being a film critic. You know, I mean, you put your opinions out there, you explain why you like something. I always feel so gratified when somebody loves a film that I've raved about and they say, I found it because you raved about it and I fell in love with it. I do try to put clues in my review as to what kind of film it is, because of course not everything is for everybody. And there are a few films that I'm sort of like, almost everybody's going to love this film. You know, I give it almost a guarantee. But for the most part, taste is very personal. It's very idiosyncratic. And as film critics, we always say, develop a relationship with a critic that you know that you have similar taste to them, or that you can trust their taste. And that's a great thing to have. Or I've had people say, I know if you liked it, I'm going to hate it. And if you hate it, I'm going to love it. And you know what? That's also a relationship.
Well, were you more Siskel or Ebert? Which one, you know, for you?
How do you do, like, what do you?
Well, I grew up with both of them. I tended to be more Siskel than Ebert, you know, I mean, like, you know, literally, you know, I thought.
No, it's funny going back and you know, I love that show. That was sort of why I became.
Well, that's when I watch movies, right? Yeah, I mean, they would review five of them. I'd at least see three of them. I mean, I wasn't interested in the French foreign film or whatever, but the primary movies at Golden Ring, I went six times a month.
All right. Now, look, enough. I know we're coming up on the clock. We've got to run. We're going to have Max.
I asked her Siskel or Ebert. She didn't give me an answer.
She said, all right, go ahead. Give me an answer.
Well, what I was going to say. Is it's funny when you go back and watch old Siskel and Ebert, there was sort of a sense that Ebert had more mainstream taste and Siskel had more rarefied taste. But in a way, Ebert was the one who was the more influential critic. I mean, to this day, there is like a Roger Ebert, I don't know the website, but there's a website that has all of his film reviews, as well as the next generation of film critics, and you could still go there and read reviews, and he is worshipped in the film criticism community. So I love them both so much, but if I had to pick one, I'm an Ebert kind of gal.
All right, real quick, before we end, again, we're going to get you back, man. So you're picking Nomadland.
To win, yeah.
Your heart's with Nomadland on the Academy Award. Just real quick on your Twitter feed, I don't often see someone in their Twitter feed use the word syllogism. I thought, syllogism. Okay. Max Weiss, related to Laura Ingraham. Now, Nestor, you're an English guy. And Max called out Laura Ingraham for a syllogism. Tell our fans what that's all about, Max.
It's a logical fallacy, basically. Okay. So it's like, say, if you say a bear is an animal, therefore all animals are bears, that's a syllogism, right? It's a term in logic.
Yeah, don't talk, we just call that stupid. Right?
Yeah, you know, Don, you know, because you're on Twitter. I love Twitter, but I have a love-hate relationship with it, which I think is the perfectly reasonable relationship to have with Twitter. We could literally do an entire show on Twitter. I mean, you've seen what's happening. People are losing their jobs because of Twitter. People are losing their government appointments because of Twitter.
Right, right.
And so it's a very reasonable thing to say, never tweet. You just should never tweet. It's, why are you taking this chance? And yet, it's so entertaining to read and to sort of be part of that Twitter community. And I love it. You know, I love making my jokes and my political comments. And your
basketball, you've become Mark Turgeon's agent. I mean, you're all over the place. At Mark Turgeon, he's looking for an extension. Call Max Weiss, editor-in-chief at Baltimore Magazine. Max, it is always great fun. Again, I say to folks, don't pick it up. Yeah, if you have to pick it up at the pharmacy, fine. But get the daggone subscription. Great stuff. We're going to have Ron Cassie on with us in 2 weeks, Max, talking about the Orioles, talking about Andy Harris and the Republican Party. All of that is in Baltimore Magazine.
Big shout out on that story on Ekubin, too. I want to make sure that give me the author. I want to promote her work because it was an unbelievable
story. That's Jane Marion. That's our food and dining editor, and she is an absolute gem.
Will she get a crab cake with me somewhere if I'm nice?
She probably will. Yeah.
So tell her she doesn't have to spend more than an hour, just like 59 minutes. She can go, I'm good with everybody the first 59 minutes. It's after that sort of the meter goes off. Max has been my friend for going on. Well, I appreciate that. Three decades now, of course, former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler, who loves having Max on the program, but loves following her movie recommendations even more. What was the third movie, Max?
Oh, I wanted to recommend Hunt for the Wilder People, if you haven't seen that one. Hunt for the
Wilder People.
And then one word, Wilder People. It's Taika Waititi, who's the guy who did Jojo Rabbit, if you all saw that, which is another great one.
Like that one.
Absolutely quirky, heartwarming, funny, weird. If you haven't seen Hunt for Wilder People, the whole family can watch that one.
And again, this would be a place you'd have to like go to a special video store to rent 30 years ago, and it's one click away on Netflix.
Oh, so really?
That's why I like this show even more these days. I am Nestor. Big shout out to our friends at Wise Markets for their sponsorship. I'm going to be telling you more about that and eating better and spending less and doing all that. And of course, our friends at Fadley's are shipping the world famous crab cakes that we love so much that we're going to be talking about so much with that local Maryland flavor. Anywhere in the world, we'll do that. State Fair's also doing crab cakes this weekend, quite frankly. I saw that. Evan and I, he says his are the best. I'm gonna be partaking in all things crab cakes, as well as our friends over at El Guapo across the street in the Margarita. On behalf of Don and our friend Max, I am Nestor. We are WNST.net AM 1570. Taos in Baltimore, we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.